Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, if you've been hanging around already today, thanks for doing that too. We appreciate it very much. And I know Bill Dunkelberg appreciates this. Dr. William Dunkelberg is the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business and the former dean of the School of Business at Temple University, now a highly regarded professor of economics and business all over the world. He's an expert that a lot of people regard very highly, including our friends at the Fed. And he's our guest this half hour. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to come back.
It's good to have you back. Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't talked since the New Year.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
Oh.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
It's the year 4703.
On the Chinese calendar.
Yeah, it's the Chinese New Year. It's the year of the rooster, Bill.
Now that you mention it, I got an email from a friend, acquaintance in China, reminding me that it was the New Year.
How about that? So you have to send him back a little nice little note and tell him Happy New Year.
Also, Fat Tuesday yesterday.
That's exactly right. This is Ash Wednesday. Exactly. Did you party too hard during Mardi Gras?
Yeah, right. No, I didn't. If I had heard it on the news, I wouldn't have known. You know,
Philly,
I partied hard grading my exams. That's my party.
Philly's a big Mardi Gras city, isn't it?
Yeah, they do. South Street
did
has a huge contingent of police every time. And,
okay, all right.
Yeah, no, we do a big thing here. You know?
Okay, well, then I stand corrected. Hey, Bill, what did your fine small business owners tell you this year? I mean, I should say this month. About how things are going in the month of January for their economy.
Well, the year's certainly off to a good start. Our Small Business Optimism Index, of course, has come down from November, which was a 30-year high. No surprise there. It's hard to keep setting records every month. But if you look at the reading compared to the last 30 years, there are virtually a handful of quarters when we had as strong a reading as we had in January. So that was really good news. Capital spending plans were above the average for last year. Hiring plans were above the average for last year. And inventory plans were also higher than the average for last year. So looks like the small business sector of the economy is really prepared to keep on doing the good work that we did in 2004, which was, of course, now that the political dust is cleared, proven to be a very, very fine economic year.
What did the retailers tell you about January? How did they fare?
They did pretty well. We still had a fairly high percentage of our retailers telling us that sales were higher than in the prior quarter. So, they had a good quarter going into the January survey, which is important. Their hiring plans are not as aggressive as, say, we see in professional services or in manufacturing, believe it or not, still, and in construction. But, the retailers are looking pretty fine.
Well, the reason I ask that is because January and February typically are not great retail months, as you know.
Although the retail sales numbers we've seen so far for this year are suggesting that maybe, along with what we saw last year, suggesting that things might be changing a little bit. Some people say it's because we get all those gift cards, that we run in January, and for the accountants don't let the firms record that sale until somebody actually takes merchandise. So
Right. Because
you get $100 for a gift card doesn't mean you can write it down as a sale. You have to wait till a sale occurs.
That's an interesting dynamic in the marketplace, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it's given a substantial bump to retail sales, in January, which would otherwise be flatter. And, of course, we had continued job growth and real income is growing, and so there was just a lot of shopping going on in January, and it was a pretty good picture.
Well, and so, of course, we don't want to annualize 1 month, and it'll be interesting to see how February turns out. And if February is okay, then that could portend a strong 2005. What do you think?
I think that's probably right. If you look around and ask, though, what sectors do you get? I mean, there's a strong 2005 versus a stronger 2005. I think a strong 2005 is the way to look at it. I don't think we can beat last year. It's going to be hard to grow 4.4% real on the GDP side.
Mm-hmm.
Because you ask yourself, where can you get more growth? I mean, consumer spending was really increasing at a very fast pace in the fourth quarter. And the savings rate went out of disposable income went close to zero. So you can't ask them to do more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So housing can't be any better than it was. It'll be a little lower. Autos can't be that good anymore. So it'll be a solid year, but you can't get a lot of growth out of some of those sectors that we had last year.
You think the growth will be 4.4? You think that's what the year end deal is going to be?
Well, 4.4 is for last year. That's for 2004
over
2003.
Right.
This year would be like 3.5.
Right. So think about that, folks. If you want to imagine what 2004 could have been like if the oil prices hadn't gone up, it almost might have been scary. Take a quick break. We're going to come back after these messages. It's 20 till. Dr. Bill Duncanberg is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back.
Got a black magic woman.
We're back. It's 17 till. A little heart for you. Ann Wilson, she can knock it out, can't she? I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Bill Duncanberg is our guest, and he's chief economist with the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. Many of you know about that group, and I encourage you to support them whenever you can. I've been a member probably over at least 15 years, and I recommend them to you. I certainly do. I think they do a lot of great things for you and me in Washington and in our state houses. And Bill, the report that you conduct every month and that you've been doing now since you were a little boy for about 30 years now.
I think that's back when you were the first member of NFIB.
I think it was back, right, exactly. And you've been doing this every month steadfastly, and golly, I tell you, I just admire you so much for your dedication and faithfulness to getting this information out about small businesses. It's so important. And by the way, folks, in case you're wondering, when the Fed needs to know what's going on about small business, when they need to know when they want to talk to somebody about what their policies, how their policies are affecting small businesses, they contact Bill Duncanberg. And Bill, we thank you for that kind of a credential that you've accumulated that allows him to do that, so you can represent us in those offices.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. We're having a fun project right now, a couple of times in recent history, the Fed has had a surprise rate cut.
Mm-hmm.
And so since we interview all through the month, we were able to divide our sample into interviewed before the Fed cut and interviewed after. And we're doing an interesting study now of the impact of that on firm owner expectations and plans to hire and make capital outlays, and then what they actually do to see how long it takes to respond to what the Fed does and so on.
All right. Well, folks, I know you were pretty impressed with Bill before, but now you ought to be even more impressed. Bill, I read George Mellon's column in the journal yesterday. I don't know if you saw that or not. Here's a paragraph, a part of a sentence, I should say, out of that letter. He says, "The International Monetary Fund estimated last September that the people of this planet would produce an estimated $40 trillion in goods and services in 2004. Now, you and I know that the U.S. economy is one-fourth of that, at $10
trillion. Right,
And you and I also know that the small businesses create over half of that $10 trillion. So does that mean that the small businesses in the United States produce one-eighth of the world's production? Huh?
Well, that's close. Let's make a small footnote. Small businesses, which the SBA defines as having under 500 employees,
right,
produce one-half of the private sector GDP.
Okay.
So you have to subtract the government from our GDP numbers. So our nominal GDP number is 11.7 trillion. Then you have to subtract a trillion or so of that for just I think the federal part. I'll have to go look at the numbers. But anyway, you have to get the government GDP out of there. Then we produce half of that. So that still puts us up in the You know, you certainly are directionally correct.
I'm not going to let you lick the red off my candy here, Bill. I'm not going to let you do that. I mean, but even with all those footnotes,
it's still huge.
It's a huge, it's a huge global contribution, isn't it?
Well, it's probably, you know, if you took our small businesses, that's a country, you know, I'm sure they'd be right up in the top three or four countries in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
No question about it.
He's talking about you, folks. We're talking about you. And you and your brethren and sisterin out there, your small business contemporaries, what you do and how that aggregates to the world, to the United States and to the world, it's very important. Don't ever let anybody minimize the contribution that you make. And when Bill says 500 employees or less, don't think that there's a lot, you know, there are more small businesses out there with five employees by a multiplier. With five employees than there are with 500 employees. If you go around any chamber of commerce, they'll tell you that 90% of their employees of their company member companies have less than 10 employees.
Yeah, the census says 90% of us have fewer than 20 out there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's when you hear me say you're a big deal, you know, we got the numbers thanks to Bill Dunkelberg and some other folks. We got the numbers to back that up. Bill, one of the things I noticed is that we still got a little pricing power too, don't we? In your report,
it looks that way. You know, we had a fair number of firms, net of those who were cutting their prices, tell us that they had higher that they raised their prices. It's what we're seeing though is a gap now between the plans to raise prices and the actual price increase. So we go back to December. 30% of our members said they plan to raise prices, but in January, only 17% net of those who cut prices got prices higher. You go back to June. Last year, 30% said in May that they wanted to raise prices, and 29% actually did in June, and that was the peak for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's been downhill from there. So we're still, you know, able to raise prices, but not like we were, of course, mid-year last year.
But we can't really say downhill. I don't really think we should think downhill from last year, only because last June was the first time in 3 years we'd had an opportunity to raise prices, so that we had a lot of catching up to do.
Well, that's a great observation. We had a lot of periods where we had more firms cutting prices than raising prices, and that was, of course, great for the inflation numbers, but it was not so great for our small businesses.
When I know that inflation is still okay, we can handle what we have, even with oil prices, and I hear that small business owners can raise prices, that tells me that's healthy profits going right to the bottom line.
That's it. That's it.
And that's where our strength is, folks, because we had so many years where we couldn't make a profit. It's hard to post a profit because we had increased expenses but not increased prices, and a lot of people didn't make it. And those of us who did, we got a lot to be thankful for. Tin Tail, we're going to be right back with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg right after these messages. More to come. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. Lindsey Buckingham on the guitar and vocals there, ladies and gentlemen. Part of the Fleetwood Mac organization. Great guitar player. Bill Dunkelberg is with us. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. He's pretty good on guitar there yourself, aren't you, Bill?
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't I wish. I actually, you know, had one for a year and pretended I was going to learn how to play it, but I never did.
Well, I play for my own amazement. Hey, Bill, give us your website and where we can find the report.
Okay, well, you can find the nicely published report all cleaned up at nfib.com, or is it org?
It's both. It's actually both.
We have them both, all right.
Yeah.
/ research, that's where they put us eggheads, you know, in the research part, and you can find the quarterly report, or you can get the quick and dirty one at smallbizbus.org. And you
right.
can see the charts for 30 years of history there, and you can get the last 12 monthly reports.
That's a good place to go. And if you just want to, if you're on my site and you just want to see this month's report or the most recent one, as Bill knows it, we make those available on our front, the front page of our homepage. So you can check that out.
I was going to let you plug that.
And that's at jbsba.com. Okay, Bill, what are some other things that we need to know about this, about the January survey of small businesses that you did?
Well, overall, everything, you know, looked pretty good. We had, of course, fewer of our owners telling us they think the economy will be better 12 months from now than it is today, or 6 months from now than it is today. But that's the usual pattern for this indicator, because once the economy starts growing, people don't, you know, fewer people think it can keep growing like that. So,
right.
And the interesting thing is that in this front-end expansion, that particular part of the indicator has deteriorated only about half as fast as it did pre-90s expansion and pre-80s expansion. So I view that as a very good signal.
Absolutely.
We remain very confident in how well the economy is going to do. That's good news.
Right, absolutely. Well, what do you see anything... Interest rates shouldn't really be, I mean, even though the Fed's on an interest rate raising tear, they're basically just trying to, they're just trying to get above inflation, aren't they?
Right. Of course, we still don't like it. I mean, we did see a 100 basis point or 1 point increase in the average rate we paid on short-term money in the January survey. So that reflects what the Fed is doing. But the long-term rates are the ones that really matter for us, for the economy, and those aren't changing very much, and those depend on expected inflation. So as long as we trust the Fed can manage inflation, we can continue to have those, you know, long-term treasury rates under 5%, and that'll be very good.
Well, and everything I see, it looks like inflation is going to, we are going to be able to hold inflation under control, and if they can just get comfortable with having the Fed funds rate maybe a half a point above the inflation rate,
right?
If they can get comfortable with that, then and we can settle into that sometime in the next quarter or so, we ought to be looking at a good 2005, shouldn't we?
We should, you know, not that it's worth anything, but the kind of economist forecast for inflation this year is on the CPI and the Consumer Price Index is about 2.7%. So, if you put a point on that, that'll take you up to 3.7,
right,
for the short-term rate, and that would mean the Fed would be happy with that.
Let's just put a half a point on it, Bill. I'd rather just have a half a point. I don't want to give them a whole point.
Well, we'll see what they're going to do, and time will tell.
Right. Bill, what's a surprise that you think might be coming at us out there? What is, if you see anything that might be a little bit of a threat in the next 12 months, what would you think it would be?
Boy, of course, since we're so large an economy, it's hard for us to be threatened by anything very much. Don't really see anything but improvement on the oil side, so it's not there. And I think wild speculation about, excuse me, a run against the dollar, it won't happen because our trading partners don't want it to happen. So
right.
It's not going to happen. So I'm not sure what it would be, really. That's a good question.
What about China?
Well, you know, but the next 12 months, they don't, you know, they won't do very much.
Long term,
if China suddenly went into kind of a recession, mm-hmm. We don't sell them anything much. I mean, we buy everything from them, but they don't buy a lot from us.
Have I heard some comments about maybe that they might let the yuan float a little bit?
Well, we've been pressing them to do that. That's one of the problems that we have, of course, and they have agreed to do that as part of their WTO membership. In 2007, so you would think maybe they could start a transition any time. But that would not be bad for our economy. That would really be good. That means we would be able to, you know, that means the dollar would weaken a little bit more on a trade-weighted basis, and we'd be selling more stuff to them because the dollar's cheaper.
Right.
We'd be buying less from them. That would improve our trade balance.
Right, right.
So that wouldn't be bad news. That would be
right.
Good.
Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today. And when you talk to Chairman Greenspan, tell him thanks for caring about small businesses.
Will do.
And I know you do that. Thank you, Bill, for being here. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.